Our text will be the gospel for today, but before that, a little bit about Mother's Day. It's a lovely text which has been recommended for Mother's Day, and that's in the Song of Solomon, the Song of Songs. It speaks about the love, and that applies especially about the fierce and protective love of a mother. For love, this is the last chapter of the Song of Solomon, chapter 8. For love is strong as death. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man offered for love all the wealth of his house, he would be utterly despised. And the last hymn that we just sang, 1 Corinthians 13, is the great chapter on love, on Christian love. Now, also, before we get into the sermon, I'd like to put in a plug for the movie that's showing at present at the Wallace Theatres. It's advertised in our bulletin. Christine and I saw it Thursday night, and it's an excellent movie, which I would highly recommend, about this Chicago journalist who comes to faith in Jesus after a lot of research, and particularly into the resurrection. That's his big focus, and rightly so. He hits the nail on the head in beginning his search in looking for evidence of the resurrection of our Lord. There aren't many deficiencies in the movie. It's of a very high quality. You could say perhaps we would like to see more emphasis on forgiveness. It's nearly there, though. It's nearly there. He breaks down at one point in the movie when he thought that his father hated him. He had a very bad relationship with his father and just could not get on with his father. But then after his father dies, he breaks down. When his mother, going through his father's diaries, etc., he sees how much his father really did love him. And so God's love comes through. So I'd recommend it highly. If you haven't seen it yet, Wallace Theatres, 12:15 and 7 o'clock daily until or through Wednesday. That's my little plug. End of commercials now. And we'll get into our gospel for today, for the fifth Sunday of Easter. First verse, I'll just read a couple of verses again. Verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. And then verse 6, which will be our theme, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Christian friends, St. John presents the case for Christ most memorably toward the end of his Easter story, the end of chapter 20 of John's Gospel. These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. In the light of Easter, in view of the promise that our Lord is preparing a place for us in the heavenly mansions, we can be calm, cheerful, confident people, knowing that our eternal future is assured. So this morning's gospel begins with Jesus saying to us, let not your hearts be troubled. Don't be anxious about anything. Believe in God, the Father. Believe also in me. And so our Lord is asking you and me, whenever we are weighed down with our various worries, don't you trust your Heavenly Father? Don't you trust me? Don't you trust me to carry you through all your troubles? Yes, you can trust me, he is saying to us all. And he encourages us to look beyond this troubled world to the Father's house, with its many rooms clean and sparkling and all beautifully prepared to welcome us. No longer will we have to move house ever again, as some of us have had to do many times. The letter to the Hebrews reminds us, Here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Here in this world we are strangers and exiles, pilgrims, people who can never be totally at home here. We are strangers and exiles. Our true home, our abiding citizenship is in heaven, and now we are on the way. And even now, while we struggle on in this world, our heavenly inheritance brightens our lives and cheers our spirits. He promises that our home in this world, no matter how humble, no matter how lonely we may feel at times, perhaps, that in that as long as we are here in this world, no matter what our circumstances, we have two wonderful persons who have made their home with us. As we hear later in this chapter of John, where Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Let's pray that our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus, his dear Son, will be permanent residents in our hearts and homes, now and always. But how do we finally get to the heavenly mansions? Thomas says to Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus answers him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's one way only one way to heaven, and that's through faith in Jesus." This reminds me of a Sunday afternoon some years ago, back in 2011, when Christine and I had just been attending the centenary of the little church at Pella. We have a pastor here who knows it very well, don't we, David? Pella, you were there 6 years ago. Yes, Pella near Rainbow in northwestern Victoria. After the celebrations, we weren't sure of the best way to drive from Rainbow to Neil and back home to Adelaide. So we asked a couple of men in the Rainbow pub, and they told us that there'd been a lot of rain and the roads were pretty boggy in that heavy clay in that part of western Victoria. And they told us the road from Rainbow to Jeparit is closed. You can try that way if you like, but if you get stuck, don't ring for help. No one will come. You have to drive down the western side of Lake Hindmarsh and keep following the signs to Nil. That's the only way. If you try the other way, you'll be in big trouble. And I think that's a very good picture of our life in this world. There's only one right, good, safe way. We can try all sorts of ways, all sorts of religions, all sorts of philosophies, and all sorts of worldviews, as many do. But they won't lead us anywhere. In the end, we'll be lost and bogged. And so the New Testament keeps telling us, only through faith in the Son of God do we find eternal life. John's first letter: "Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." Only through Jesus do we find peace with God. Only through faith in him do we have access to God the Father, Paul tells us in Romans 5. And Jesus says in Matthew's Gospel, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." So, Christian friends, it's misleading when people say, as they often do these days, that all religions are the same, or like all roads used to lead to Rome. All religions are just different ways to bring us to God and to heaven. Could Jesus possibly say it any more clearly? "I am the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." For a long time, multiculturalism has been promoted in Australia, and that's fine if we show respect, if it means that we should show respect and friendship for everyone. regardless of their faith and culture. But when multiculturalism is built on the idea that all cultures and religions are the same, that is misleading. It is false. It detracts from the honour that we owe exclusively to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world, the only way to heaven. In Martin Luther's day, the Swiss reformer, he was a contemporary of Luther's, and they met too in Marburg, the city of Marburg, for a debate on the Lord's Supper. Ulrich Zwingli in Zurich, he wrote that some of the heroic Roman generals like Numa Pompilius and Scipio and legendary figures like Hercules were enjoying eternal blessedness in paradise along with Peter, Paul and the other saints. And Luther replied, "This is nothing else than an open acknowledgement that they think, Zwinglian people, like-minded people, that they think that faith and Christianity amounts to nothing. For Scipio and Numa Pompilius, who were idolaters, have been saved. Why was it necessary for Christ to suffer and die? And to what end is it necessary for Christians to be baptized and for Christ to be proclaimed?" So horribly do men fall when they let go of the word and lose it. Likewise, in the papacy, Luther goes on, likewise in the papacy under the Pope, it is taught that when a person does the best that is in him, he will be saved. And unfortunately, that is still the official teaching of the Catholic Church today, confirmed at the Second Vatican Council in the 1960s. Do your best and God will do the rest. It's not grace alone, faith alone in Jesus alone. Faith alone in Jesus alone and in the word alone. So Jesus spells it out to Philip when Philip asks him, "Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us." And Jesus replies, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." And then Jesus goes on to say something that at first sounds rather puzzling. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Now, does this mean that you and I are going to turn more water into wine than Jesus ever did? Heal more people than he did? Feed the hungry more than he did? Open the eyes of the blind more often than he did? Raise more dead people than he did? No, what Jesus means is that his disciples will take his gospel beyond the land of Israel to the ends of the earth. His disciples have done that. They've taken the glad tidings of salvation to every major group of people and provided them with the scriptures in their own language. And as missionaries have brought the gospel to people around the world, they've also done great things in providing schools and hospitals and social welfare. You think of all the pastors and evangelists and Bible translators that have gone out to the whole world. We were in Thailand recently, and a little Lutheran church there, 15 pastors, 13 evangelists, but faithfully witnessing, and many being converted from Buddhism to Christianity, and Highlands tribes being converted too. Yesterday we had a lovely visit from Hannah Schultz, daughter of Pastor and Mrs. Ray Schultz in Warrnambool. And Hannah is a Bible translator in Papua New Guinea, and with a very remote tribe, but she's been there for many years, faithfully translating the Word of God into the language of these people in a very remote area. So we thank God for such people, and that's the sort of thing that our Lord has in mind here. You'll do greater works, more extensive works than I have done. Now God promises to keep doing more than we can ask or think in answer to our prayers, as long as we pray in keeping with his good and gracious will and in the name of his dear Son. The one and only way, the one who is truth itself, the truth is in Jesus, St. Paul writes very simply. The truth is in Jesus, and he is the one who offers us eternal life. For where there is forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, there is also life and salvation. May his blessed name be praised. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.